TV Campfire Podcast.
Have you seen it yet? OMG.
We're here.
I hate to sound like a broken
record. Oh, no! We're fans.
It just goes up from there.
Oh! All right, we got to a whole different level.
No, you didn't.
We talk TV.
She is the most useless one-dimensional character ever.
Premiere of Spartacus.
Vengeance.
Welcome to the show. This is podcast number 101, and I am Livia, your host. We have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Tom from Glendale.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and I'm from Orange County, often known as the Orange Curtain.
Amy from Encino.
All right, here we go. And this week we have some news. Apparently Bill Pullman has been typecast as the president. He will be starring in 1600 Penn, which is an NBC comedy about the first family.
But will there be an alien invasion?
Yes, that would make it really good. I would really appreciate that. But it just feels like it's so weird because as much as I didn't like certain parts of Torchwood, I thought Bill Pullman played a very interesting character, and he was just really good in it.
And squandered.
That's beside the point. My point is he got to do something that we've never seen him do. And now he's basically back to square one of I'm playing a president, isn't that funny? Like, anyway, the other piece of news is Dennis Quaid and Michael Chiklis will be starring in a Western on CBS, where one of them is playing a sheriff. I'm not sure which one. And I just feel like, are there too many Westerns now? It feels like an inundation.
Not on network TV. This is the network's attempt to try to horn in on cable's, you know, success with Westerns.
Well, and the thing is, well, CBS, I guess, because at first I was thinking it was NBC. CBS will at least, if they pick it up, they'll at least give it a shot. Because they have so many successful shows, they don't need to cancel a show immediately.
Neither does NBC.
Well, NBC, it's so weird. It's like they have no shows, and they cancel shows in 5 episodes.
We bought 22 episodes of The Firm, and
only show
now yank them.
Now it's no, it plays on Saturdays.
Oh, it's banished to Saturday night.
Yeah, so The Firm, if you want to watch The Firm, Saturday night.
Where it will get beaten by 48 Hours Mysteries.
Exactly. All right, the last piece of news, which will be great for sci-fi fans, is that David Morrissey has been cast as the villain for season 3 of The Walking Dead, and Peter had a very specific opinion about that.
Well, actually, I don't know this actor, and I think Amy's also read The Walking Dead, but
yes,
that makes me nervous because they basically just skipped, to me, the game-changing moment of the series. Well, if you're already going to the... Is he called the governor?
He's the called governor. The governor.
The governor would actually be season 4. There's a huge thing that happens before you get to that character that, to me, in most fans of the show, of the graphic novel, that's what makes the series great. And I'm like, they're going to skip. And that means that's how you meet 2 or 3 of the biggest characters. Like, so,
yeah.
But maybe either they're rearranging it, or maybe the thing I'm thinking of is the beginning of the 3rd season, and the villain that we're talking about, he's really not till the end. That would make sense.
You get They said.
Well, did they just say season 3?
They said season three, but a major character for season 3.
Well, he is a major character.
Yeah, but they make it seem like he's going to not just be in one episode of season 3. He's going to be in season 3.
I mean, I can't imagine that they would skip this thing because it's such an awesome thing.
They are deviating from the comic book because certain,
they are.
Characters who should have been gone are still around.
Right. And other characters that are still around in the comic are dead now. So, I mean, yes, yeah, they are, but I don't know. What do you think, Amy?
Well, I kind of wish that they would stick closer to the comic because I'd like to see how some of those events could be acted out. I mean, I know they're really horrible and brutal. Still, I wish I could see how they could put that to film.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, because especially the thing that I'm talking about, I really wanted to see visually what it looked like because I want to see what this looks like, you know, but I don't know.
This place looks
this
like.
This place.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they do skip, then you could just tell me what the heck you're talking about. But don't tell me yet.
Oh, right. I won't. Yes.
Unless they take it and put it in a different part of the series, but I don't know how they would do that.
I guess they could. But there's moments in this show that are really still really like the graphic. Every time I see, I can't remember, what's the kid's name?
Carl.
Every time I see Carl with that cowboy hat, his dad's hat, that is so iconic from the graphic. I mean, that's exactly what he looks like in the graphic novel. Like, so
yeah.
There are definitely things where I'm like, oh, that's the graphic novel. But
Anyway, that's a nice segue. Because,
so anyways, you say he's a good actor.
Yes.
So I'm happy that they got a good actor.
The next Doctor.
I was wondering what Amy thought, who has seen the graphic novel, and you do know who David Morrissey is, because I'm assuming you also saw the miniseries he was in with David Tennant. You see that too?
Yes, I did. Blackpool.
So you know that David Morrissey is a good actor. How do you feel about him playing this character?
Well, I have no doubt that he can do it, but I feel uncomfortable with it because I like him as an actor. I like him in good roles. I mean, but it's going to make me uncomfortable to see him as such an evil character.
He's so evil. Like,
yeah, but I but the thing is, like, you want a good actor to play an evil character so that you love to hate him.
He does things you'll just not like him.
Well, I mean, he's not.
It's not cool bad guy. He's not like the Joker in Dark Knight. I mean, he's pretty bad.
I think for television,
unless they tone it down, they could.
They probably will for television, because you don't want a villain that everybody just hates.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and everybody you've got to hate the governor.
Okay. Nice segue, because now we're segueing into the premiere of Walking Dead Season 3. Season 2.
2.5.
There we go. And we didn't get to talk about it last week, so we actually have two episodes of Walking Dead, which we're going to smush together as one. And so let's go. What'd you guys think?
Rick Grimes, badass.
Well, he just basically did everything that was really hard to do. Like, all the stuff that was hard to do, he got all the tasks.
Yes.
So that lets you know where we haven't reached his line of what he won't do.
I have a feeling we're going to see it this week.
Well, I don't know if we're going to reach his line, because the thing that trips me out as I skip to the end is I was so angry at the wife for running off on her own to get in the car. Like, all that motivation was dumb. I was like, Rick has done this a million times. Why this particular time?
It's not like she's been making particularly good decisions of late.
Well, I don't, but that just seemed really, who in this world, in the world of Walking Dead, goes by themselves with a freaking revolver in a car, doesn't tell anybody where she's going?
Right.
Like, every rule that there is in she broke them all.
She told Daryl.
She didn't tell Daryl that she was going. Not at all. She didn't tell him at all. She asked him to go. He said no.
That's right. Well, he knew.
No, he didn't. He didn't assume she was going to run off by herself. Who does that?
And also, that guy's so much in his own world.
Yeah, he wasn't thinking about her.
And who would do that? Why would she? Like, he might do something like that, but nobody else goes by themselves anywhere. So it just, like, it made no sense. And she didn't even bring a real gun. She brought that little crappy gun. And I almost felt like she needed to be dead. Like, you know, it's like survival of the fittest and the smartest.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere on your own with a tiny crappy gun if you want to live in a zombie world.
But going back to Tom's point, the end of the first of 2.5 or whatever was them at the bar going to get the owner of the farm, and the two guys come in, and that was great, man. I mean, he just took care of them so bam, bam, bam. It was just like, oh, awesome.
Well, great thing about that is it points out the difference between guys who just kind of know how to have guns and kind of know how to shoot them versus somebody.
He's a trained law enforcement officer.
And I think he tells him that. I was a police officer. Like, so I'm like, you're walking into a nightmare if you go against this guy.
But they figured, hey, it's two of them.
They're on each side of him. So you're like,
They were trying to, and he realized that's what they were trying to do too. But even, and I like the fact that he just, you know, he was like, you know what? I'm just going to go first.
but they did draw on him. I mean,
no, they didn't, because the guy had taken his gun out. He sat it on the table. He didn't draw. He put the gun down on the table. The only thing is, they got to a point in the conversation where they realized somebody was about to shoot somebody.
It's very reminiscent for me of Han Solo and Greedo.
Yeah, it was
you have no doubt what their intent was.
Right, that's true.
You know he's not going to let them get that far.
Exactly, and he knows it's 2-on-1. One guy's behind me. He needs the element of surprise. Screw it.
To me, this episode highlighted to me why, once again, I don't really think we need the Shane character. Even though I think the actor's good, to me, the episode with Herschel and Rick talking, and how Herschel has this way of looking at the world. Because remember, he really thought that the zombies were just sick.
People.
And he's realizing now at the bar that he's wrong and everything. That's good. I was like, okay, that's interesting, and we can see why they have a difference of opinion, and they're kind of coming. And it's like, the Shane character to me, he's always this, like, he's just the, he, it's not that he's the jerk for the jerk's sake, but he does for the show feel like we need a permanent antagonist for the gang, and that's what Shane is, and it gets very tiresome. Even though I think the actor's good, I'm not complaining about the actor.
I think
it gets tiring
for various reasons, including story. I think that character's days are numbered.
Yeah, obviously. I feel like it's coming to a head. Like in the last episode, it really is Rick versus Shane, and one of them.
That's what I'm thinking. Although I will say that my friend Lisa, who's been on the podcast, she like loves Shane. She thinks Shane's a really great character, and he is in the credits. So I'm like, well, maybe they're not gonna, because maybe there are people who like him, so they're not gonna kill. I hope they kill him. I hope you're right. But maybe not.
I don't see how they're not going to at this point, because Shane is very much like, that baby is mine, I'm gonna take what's mine.
Mm-hmm.
He made that very, very clear. And
Rick, that's why the Lady Macbeth at the end of the second episode, yep, is, she's basically telling Rick, you need to kill him.
You need to kill your best friend.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah. I felt it was so weird because I felt like she was being a little manipulative, but she's not wrong.
Right.
You know? Like, I really felt like, I was like, you are totally manipulating Rick right here.
She's trying to.
She's trying to, and it looks like it's working, but she has a legitimate fear.
Right.
And in that world.
And she has a legitimate point.
Right.
Did she ever tell Rick? Did he, like, try to rape her and everything?
No.
And something like, there's so many things about Shane where I'm like, come on. And when I was talking to Lisa about this, I was like, she thinks that Shane did the right thing by killing Otis. She's like, he had to do it. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well,
at least the scene we see, I don't think he had to kill him at
that
point.
He didn't have to kill him.
He didn't have to.
No.
But it's interesting because it comes up again, and he basically does not deny it.
No.
Right. Yes.
He
does not deny it.
And there's
Sorry, go ahead.
No, Amy, it's your turn.
Oh, well, do you think that there should be more zombies in The Walking Dead?
I thought the zombie that's ripping through the windshield was a pretty creepy zombie.
Yeah, I was like, get out of the car!
Skins coming off.
That was a cool cold opening for it.
Yeah, it was. You know, the zombies in The Walking Dead, even the graphic novel, are they always kind of disappear. And then suddenly you're overrun with them. So that's not really too... I'm like, yeah, that's kind of fits with the way the show is. So I've been okay with the zombie use. What about you?
I know it is more character-based.
Yeah, right.
So
I'd rather have more character than just a million zombies running around. Man.
After season one, I posted on Facebook, Walking Dead is about zombies like Battlestar was about spaceships.
That's about right.
And I think the real horrors of Walking Dead is what we are capable of.
Yes, right.
In any set of circumstances.
Well, that's the thing, is you take off the veneer of civilization and everybody is an animal. So it's just a matter of degrees.
Right.
It's like Lord of the Flies with zombies.
Right. But I thought it was... but either way, great. I mean, I'm really liking it. So.
Amy, you have been kind of silent, so any other thoughts?
Sorry, I've just been enjoying your discussion.
So, your thoughts?
No, I guess I am getting a little tired of Shane. There's that I think they're dragging him out too long.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
We all agree on that.
Yeah, and they need to move on with other characters.
Yep. Oh, let me just say, the scene between Daryl and I can't remember...
The mom?
Oh my gosh.
That was good.
That was amazing because...
Smacked him upside his head.
But just the scene where he raises his hand and she cowers waiting to get hit because they're both acting out of instinct.
Right.
Because
Did he raise his hand? I don't know.
Yes, he did.
I remember he said really cruel things to her.
No, he raised his hand getting ready to smack her and she cowered. But she was... It was just interesting because you can tell... That's what he's used to in his life, and we know that's what she's used to in her life.
Well, I actually thought what was more devastating was the things he said to her.
Oh, the things he said to her.
To try to make her go away, and she just stood there and just stared at him.
Because she knows what she's
She knows what he's doing, right.
And they had this weird bond.
I like it, though.
Actually, I like that character. I like them both.
Both are great characters.
I like them together, because they kind of need
each
other.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, she gets him to rejoin
the group. Right. And I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next up, we're going to talk Downton Abbey, and you won't hear my voice in this discussion because I will be leaving the room.
Yeah, me neither, because I'm behind.
So Amy will mute, and I will be absent.
We'll be real quick. Two episodes ago was the actual season finale where basically the Spanish flu...
Yes. So this was the Christmas episode, but right.
So the Spanish flu, and surprise, surprise, they eliminate the obstacle to Mary and Matthew's happiness, Lavinia. Or at least one of the,
obstacles. I really like the show, but even Matthew saying, you know, I know it's a cliche, but I think she died of a broken heart. I was like, oh, man. Oh. I was like, this is so cheesy. Like, you know, I really feel like overall this season has become, even though I really like Downton Abbey, I feel like these soap operas.
They've done some very soapy things.
I mean, also Matthew walking.
Oh yeah, Matthew
walking.
Come on. Although, from watching one of the behind the scenes documentaries, evidently with the wound he had and where medicine was,
it just feels like a.
And the thing with Lavinia appearing to get better and then dying, they said that was also characteristic of Spanish flu. And that thing devastated. I mean, it killed millions of people.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that many people didn't get killed.
The fact that they left Lady Cora alone. It's like, we need her for Shirley MacLaine to visit next year.
I was like, isn't Shirley MacLaine coming? I actually thought the traditional, what was the finale before the Christmas episode, mm-hmm. I liked it, but I was a little unsatisfied. I was like, I don't know about all these, the way they're tying these things up. However, the Christmas episode, which I actually thought was just going to be like more of a standalone, because like mm-hmm. on Doctor Who, it's usually just a standalone.
Oh no, it wasn't.
Actually,
standalone.
They wrapped up a lot, and wrapped up so much that the third season could be and starting new things. So.
The thing with I can't think of his name.
Not Bates.
Yeah, with Mr. Bates being found guilty, and then
he's guilty, but they're not going to kill him.
They're not going to kill him,
which means that the character could come back.
Right.
It actually felt like the end of the second the Christmas episode. It felt like not only could they end certain story threads and start new ones, but they also potentially could have gotten rid of characters. Like Sybil's not in that episode at all, or the because of Remembering Ireland.
Right.
And then near the end, Anna and Mary are going to go to New York. And I'm like, so there's all these things where I'm like, whoa, you can actually bring new characters in if you wanted to. Well, like Shirley MacLaine.
You're right.
I'm actually, when it ended, I was like, okay, I that was a good finale, and I'm obviously still in. But I would like them to tone down the theatrics a little.
The soapy,
it is a soap opera. I know
it is a soap. I mean, yes, it's set in a certain time period where they're making a social commentary about the class system and how it's getting ready to break down in the UK. But at the end of the day, you know, British accents aside and amazing production design aside,
it's great.
A soap opera.
Yes, yeah. And of course, you know, shippers of Mary and Matthew get their big moments. That
I
was
just
great.
Wondering what the next obstacle is going to be.
I know. I was thinking that too. I was like, well, would they skip in time where it's really more about them having a baby? Would that be what it is?
I don't know where they're going to. All I've heard is that the third season's going to be set during the Roaring Twenties.
And
it's entered 20, I believe.
Are we also going to see New York, you think?
I'm thinking.
Or is it Shirley MacLaine coming to Downton? Because they're supposed to go visit her right now.
Yeah, I think Shirley MacLaine's coming to Downton.
So, like, Mary's been there for a while, and now she's coming.
That's what I would suspect.
And also, I guess, I was about to say, would Mary have to leave still? But I guess she does, because part of it is it's the idea that the scandal could
break. The scandal.
So even though Matthew is like, I don't care about the scandal, everybody else theoretically would, so you still have to, okay, well, all right. So sounds like we both liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Downton Abbey, so.
Although
I do think the first season's stronger.
Oh, definitely.
I'm my big shipping thing, even though I do like Mary and Matthews, I really like Anna and Bates.
Yes.
I just feel like, poor Bates, man. I'm just like, so many bad stuff happens to that
guy. Oh, and Thomas and O'Brien. Jeez, Thomas.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was it Christmas? Was that the dog?
That's the dog.
Yeah, that was. I was just like, what are you doing, man?
It's like, dude.
Okay. Oh, you know what I didn't like? And then we'll wrap it up. They've kind of done it okay. I didn't like Lord Grantham kissing the maid.
Oh, I
hope that's over.
It seemed to come out of nowhere and then went to nowhere.
Right, because then at first he was like, I shouldn't have done that. And then he does it again. And I was like, oh, come on. And I was like, but I feel right. I think that's done.
I hope so. Okay. Right. Y'all can come back now.
I do love Downton Abbey. I just need time to catch up.
I don't understand why I haven't, I think I watched Southland in a week. I don't know. It's, I just haven't cranked on it yet. All right, next up, let's talk about Once Upon a Time. We have two episodes. The first one was the Beauty and Beast episode with Mr. Gold, and the second one was Snow White and Prince Not So Charming. So the one with Mr. Gold I thought was fantastic. Like, yeah, that was a really, really good episode.
The twist on Beauty and the Beast was well executed. I have issues with this show. It's so inconsistently written. I mean, people would just drop in and out of sight. They need to build their arcs so they make sense. And, you know, this writer guy who comes into town and then it's such a big deal that somebody comes into town, then we do nothing
for like 3 weeks,
for
right?
For 3 weeks, and then we finally do something with it, and it's just so, oh, so subtle.
Well, let's talk about the good episode first. Because he had nothing to do with that.
I mean, it's Beauty and the Beast. I mean, with Mr. Gold and guest star Emily DeRaven as Beauty, and
I thought the story was really good.
Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's hard story to mess up.
But they did it well, is my point.
Well, that's true. Execution counts.
Yeah,
execution does count.
Yeah.
I thought the twist at the end that Beauty is still around in present day Storybrooke, and of course, evil Regina has her held captive somewhere.
What was great about that is we saw how much Mr. Gold was willing to trade for an artifact of her, mm-hmm. which was the little teacup.
Right.
He was willing to trade a lot for just getting that teacup back. Like, what would he trade to get her back?
For Chip.
Yeah. So he the Chip's teacup, he was like, he gave Regina like something really big. So I kind of like, well, man, if he could give up something that big for just the cup, what would he give for her? And that gives, of course, the evil witch or whatever, evil queen, she gives her a lot of leverage.
It just seems to me that they've got too many balls in the air. And I'd rather that they, instead of starting another new story arc, why don't we wrap some of these up before we start another plotline.
You're just being logical.
I don't know if I can get behind that. This show is incredibly devoid of logic.
Well, I think as we go to the second episode, which was about Snow White and, like I said, Not So Charming. He is such a coward.
Such the ballless wonder.
Well, I mean, in the fairy tale land, he's... he's awesome.
He's great in fairy tale land.
Yeah, and then you bring him to real world.
He's got no cojones whatsoever.
All he has to do is tell his wife, which is...
I'm in love with somebody else.
I'm not saying that's easy, but he still broke up with her anyway. He leaves his wife, but he tells her, it's my memory. I just am not connecting with you, so I'm going to have to leave you. So he still leaves his wife, but he totally lies to her about the reason. And then the evil queen tells the wife, no, he's totally sleeping around. It has nothing to do with the other thing.
She didn't, to be fair to Regina, she did not do that on purpose. She thought he had told her.
That's true. Because she's like, oh my God, my husband's leaving me.
She didn't know that he was a gutless wonder.
Right. So, and she did ask. She was like, so are you sleeping with somebody else? Is there somebody else? He goes, oh no.
And when Snow finds out, she kicks him to the curb.
Yeah, Snow was like, you didn't have the guts to tell your wife. You lied to her,
and then you lied to me.
Yeah, he turned around and told. He's like, oh yeah, I totally told her everything that was happening. So
it's fairy tale land, soap opera.
Yeah, I know, but that's part of my problem is I used to like Snow and Prince Charming as a couple. I wanted them to get together, but now I kind of am like, yeah, you guys should stay apart.
Because he's such a twit.
Yeah.
And where the heck is Jiminy Cricket? This is the problem I have with the show. Where's Jiminy Cricket?
Jiminy Cricket's awesome.
He's been gone for episodes at a time.
I'm sure the actors are wondering the same thing.
Yeah, seriously.
He's
probably thinking, as long as I get paid, my guarantees.
Right. Well, I'm sure he'd rather be on the show. And I like that actor, too. It's Rafael Sabarge. So I like him too, and he has a great role, but basically they only use him as a psychiatrist for the kid. They need to use him better. He could be a potentially really good character.
And finally we have some forward motion with mysterious writer guy.
Well, not really.
Well, no, he has fabricated pages to put in Henry's book.
Oh, that's
true.
So
when he replaces it.
Right, he steals the book. And then did he replace pages or did he just take...
He's inserted pages in
the
book.
I thought he stole pages out.
Well, we don't know if he's...
So, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Will the fact that the book has been rewritten affect all the characters, or will it only affect Regina?
Well, I don't know if it'll affect the characters. I think it'll affect the knowledge that they have beforehand. I didn't think he was actually rewriting the fairy tale.
He's putting new pages in, if he's rewriting. We don't know exactly what he's done. We just know he had pages and was putting them in the book.
Right. So I'm not sure what he did, but I also don't know. I don't think that's going to affect fairy tale because that's already happened. But it would affect the knowledge that they would have ahead of time. That's what I thought they were doing, so that the boy wouldn't know stuff. Like, he's... Except that I would assume the kid's already read the book cover to cover.
Yeah, so the kid should be able to tell, wait a minute, that wasn't there before.
Right, that's what I was like, what kid who's
this
obsessed...
This book's a fake.
What kid who's obsessed about a book wouldn't read it several times? And he knows everything that's in the book. He's like, oh, you're here, and you're here, and you're... Like, he knows everything. I can't see him looking at that book and being like, huh... Maybe I just didn't read this before.
But
like,
this has taken forever to... I mean, what? It's taken 6 weeks since the writer came into town for us to get this.
It hasn't
far.
Been that long.
It feels like it's
I'm
been
sure,
long.
I'm sure. But anyway, I still am giving it a shot because word says... Or word tells? What am I trying to say?
Word on the street.
Yes, is that the finale is supposed to be really good. So I'm going to keep... I'm at least going to finish the season.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of fairy tales, so I want to see what new stuff they do.
All right, wrapping that up. Next up, let's talk about Castle.
Two-parter with Jennifer Beals.
I didn't predict she was going to be a Russian spy.
I kind of figured that she might be.
Well, not a Russian spy.
Well, not a Russian spy.
Hey, I'm sure
I kind of figured she might be the bad girl because it just seemed too convenient. And when they finger, oh, so-and-so is a bad guy so early into the episode.
Right.
It's obviously a misdirect.
Right. That was fine that she was the bad guy, but I just felt like they went that extra mile by making her a Russian spy. I was like, really?
Yeah, what decade is this?
I know.
Stop. After the Cold War ended, she probably figured, I might as well be up to no good still.
I was kind of like, well, the whole thing is they were like, how could you do this to your country? And she was like, what? Then she just switches to Russian. I went, what? Why couldn't she just be after the money? Like, that would have... I would have believed that more, but it did have some interesting effects on the whole Castle and Beckett thing, where she lies to Beckett about her relationship with Castle. At least I'm assuming that was a lie, because I was like, that's a really cruel thing to say to her.
I thought where the episode where the two-parter broke with the car going into the river, I liked how they spent that, you know, cold opening getting out of that situation. That was kind of cool.
Right. Oh, yeah, because it looked like they were both dead.
Yeah, it looked like they were...
I was like, and the show's over because they both drowned.
OMG, they just killed both leads.
That was pretty good tension. That was really good tension because it's like... But the thing is, I have to say, every time a car goes in the river, somebody's seatbelt always breaks.
Of course.
Like, every single... I cannot think of one where the seatbelt just opens. Like, it doesn't happen.
It's from the book of police show cliches.
Yes, and it makes you think, why should I wear a seatbelt? Because if I go into the water, I won't be able to get out of my seat.
Because it's the law, Olivia.
Or just as you're headed into the water, immediately undo your seatbelt.
And then you go through flying through the freaking windshield.
Yeah.
All right, well
then, yeah,
looking you're out in the water, I guess there's that. What do you think, Amy?
Well, I like, what's her name? Sophia?
That's Beals?
The Jennifer Beals character?
Yeah, Jennifer. The reveal that she was evil was really obvious.
Yeah.
But I liked the, you know, yelling at the TV, don't listen to her when she was telling Beckett that giving into their attraction ruined her relationship with Castle.
Yes. I that's when I knew she was lying. I was like, wait a minute.
That's when you know she's evil.
It was, yeah, I was like, why would you tell her that? Like, it was a pretty evil thing to say. So I was like, you must be evil. But, I mean, for a two-parter, it wasn't bad for the show. With them working with the CIA, I like that the boss was all mad that she couldn't be in on the secret. She's like, I'm your boss. She's like, yes, but it's classified. We can't tell you. And so the boss like had just a fit. I was like, really?
They got to do something with that boss quickly.
Yeah, she's totally not working.
I missed not having Ryan and Esposito involved in the case because they always bring some levity.
Yeah, but I don't miss them that much, truthfully. If you have just Beckett and Castle, I'm fine.
I thought it was interesting having Alexa work with Lainey.
Oh, but then that got really uncomfortable very quickly.
Quickly, yeah.
Because that was why he was like, you can't, he's like, she's in too many pieces of my life. You know, she needs to be separate. because she heard all the rumors going on about him and Beckett, and then they were having a sex talk in autopsy, and the daughter was standing right behind him, and he was like, whoa. Yeah, that's good. I thought that was all good. But let's wrap up Castle, so thumbs up?
Yep.
Yep. I have one more thing to say.
What's that? Go ahead.
Can I jump in here? I like Castle telling Beckett that she's his muse.
Aw, it was sweet.
Aww.
Very sweet. I'm a shipper. What can I say?
All right, next up is Southland, which is the first time we've talked about it in the podcast. It was one of those shows that I've been watching in the background and was surprised to find someone else in the cast actually watched. Yay! So I will just wrap up real quickly that this season, I really like... Lucy Liu has been a great addition to the show.
Great stunt casting for...
For the season. I don't know if that's
stunt casting. For Michael Cudlitz, it is stunt casting. She's a special guest star.
Oh, she's in the whole season, basically.
Yeah.
She's fantastic.
No, she's good. It's funny because we've seen her do so many interesting things over the years, but this reminds you, she really can't act.
Well, I mean, I never thought she couldn't act. Well, I really like Lucy.
She started on Ally McBeal. Oh, in the Charlie's Angels movies.
Okay, all right, fine. But I've seen her in some other good stuff, but she's really good here, especially that video where they show her getting beaten up by like that 7-foot guy.
Oh, by the giant dude.
That giant dude. Like, he picked her up like a rag doll and just beat her. And I was just so uncomfortable watching that because everybody, and then the fact that everybody in the police force makes fun of her because of that, like, that's insane. Why would you do that? And I like that her new partner, what is the main guy's name?
The actor's name is Michael Cudlitz.
I don't remember the character's name. But I like the fact that he didn't think anything less of her.
Nope.
Because of that. And he was just like, all right, we're just working together. Let's just do this. And then she found out, like, midway through the season that he was gay. And she was like, all right. And so they keep finding out things about each other. But instead of making it cause an issue, they just really respect each other more. I just feel like the partner he had before in the first couple of seasons, that wouldn't have been the case.
It was Ben McKenzie's character.
Right.
I wish they've made him such a man whore this season.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't either, and I kind of don't like it.
I liked his character in the first couple of seasons. I thought he made the right call with the whole drug prescription thing.
Right.
I thought he did the right thing, and then his partner was mad at him. It was like his partner gave him the rules. He was like, if your partner gets out of control before life is in danger, you must get them to go to rehab and then not tell them, turn them in and be there for them, but you don't be a narc. And all, like, he gave them the rules, and when it applied to his partner, he followed the rules exactly as laid down, and then his partner was angry with him. I was like, really? He did exactly what you told him to do. So that, and so now they're not partners, but now he's got the new partner who was a detective before. Right. I never liked that guy.
Sammy's an interesting character. I really miss his late partner.
Oh, yeah. His partner was better, I think.
Kevin Alejandro gets killed on everything. Show.
He got killed on True Blood.
Ugly Betty, True Blood, Southland.
Yeah, I feel like he left Southland to go to True Blood and then got killed on True Blood. But now that the two of them are partners, the Sammy guy, I think he's not that bright. I don't understand how he was a detective.
No, he's not.
I was like, how was he a detective? He is not that intelligent. And I understand why McKenzie's character, I can't remember anybody's names, why he thought that he planted that evidence. Like, it made sense.
Yeah, it made sense.
Understand why he thought that. And then he tries to apologize, and dude's like, we're not talking anymore. I was like, what are we, in third grade?
Yeah.
Right, like, what, come on. Like,
I'm interested to see where they're going with Lydia's pregnancy.
I feel like they're basically saying that if she doesn't get off the streets, she's going to have a miscarriage.
Right.
And at first, it was kind of like, she wasn't sure she even wanted the baby, so I think she didn't even care. But now I think she cares.
And they've done all these episodes where they deal with parents and children.
Right. And she's had to deal with all these crazy parents and all these crazy children, and she keeps going back and forth whether she wants the kid. But I kind of feel like now, because she almost lost the baby.
Yeah, she did.
I feel like now she's like, okay, I want it. I think she's at that point now, but I don't know. She has to tell somebody. Like, her partner knows, but nobody else knows. And they told her she has a very high chance of having a miscarriage if she doesn't take care of herself. And I'm just like...
And a very low chance of getting pregnant again.
Right. So, I'm just like, just take care of yourself, man. It's like...
But...
Anyway, but it's a really good arc for her.
But this is one of the reasons why NBC is in the toilet. Because they had this show for season one.
And they canceled
it. They produced episodes for season two and wouldn't air them.
Right.
And TNT said, we'll take it. And did. But the show...
Well, the thing is, they thought that the show was too... dark and too not fitting for their network. That's why they didn't cancel it based on ratings. It got fine ratings. That wasn't even the issue. They were like, oh, this show's way too dark for us. It was like, the show's awesome.
But the thing is, NBC doesn't know who they are anymore.
I know. Next up is NCIS, and I felt like it needed an honorable mention because we got Jamie Lee Curtis as a guest star this week. And I like the way they played the character because you don't know if she's a good guy or the bad guy. And you're like, okay, it was great stunt casting, and her and Gibbs just like are just oil and water, and they're fighting, and you know,
And it seems like they've left it open for her to return.
Oh, definitely, because at the end of the episode, she basically makes a booty call. I was
like, it's like 4 a.m.
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and she calls Gibbs, and he's like, "Hello," and she's like, "Yeah, so what are you doing right now?" He was like, "Sleeping." She's like, "How about breakfast?" And he goes, are you, is this a date? And she's like, she's like, I'm calling you at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm asking you out. What do you think? And I was like, that was so awesome. I was like, who has the balls to call to do that?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee Curtis. That was so great. And so apparently they went out to eat breakfast the next morning. And I was like, all right. So I'm hoping she comes back because they set her up to, I don't know if she's his girlfriend or whatever, because he doesn't have a very good track record of keeping a girlfriend. But, you know, I'd like to see her again. She really had some...
chemistry?
Yeah. She was much smarter because she's not your typical beauty. I mean, they had that lawyer chick who, you know, the minute you saw her, you're like, oh, they're going to throw her at Ibs.
Right.
You know? Which I love the Coast Guard lady because she was a Gibbs. Female Gibbs. And
yeah,
so,
and they have no attraction whatsoever because they are the same person.
Exactly. So, it seems like he's always getting involved with these cop ladies because you also had the Army lady.
Right, but like I said, they only last... Well, her problem, she was a redhead, so she was gone. Like, yeah. You can't... Well, the thing is his old wife was his ex-wife or his dead wife was a redhead, and so whenever he dates every redhead he dates, he's trying to replace his wife, and so that's never going to work. So the only way you even have a shot is if you're not a redhead. Anyway, so it was a really good episode. DeNozzo was being stupid with the whole payroll thing and ended up owing $3,000. He's just, DeNozzo's like, really, dude?
He's always stupid about things.
Yeah, so...
Do you realize the subtext, though, they've been going with all season long is I think they're lining up, not that the show's going to end this year, but I think they're DeNozzo and... Ziva.
Yeah, oh, well, of course.
Well, like, you know, but it's like, I think they're actually being obvious about it this season.
I do, too, and I hate it, because I don't like DeNozzo and Ziva at all as a couple.
I mean, if it was going to happen, it should have happened 5 years ago.
Thank you. And I don't see it. I think that Ziva's smart enough to know not to date Tony. Like, that seems obvious.
He actually was in love with Jean.
Jean, he was. He was in love with her.
He messed up on that. And,
undercover. I mean, anyway. Well, we're going too far back. All right. From this particular episode, good setup for Jamie Lee Curtis. I thumbs up. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about Justified.
Yes.
Let me just say, I cannot figure out what they're doing with all the villains this year.
It's awesome, though.
Because there's so many choices and... who's going to end up aligning with whom?
Right.
And, you know, where is Boyd ultimately going to land? Because he's, like, kind of trying to...
Boyd's always going to land, believe it or not.
He's going to land on his feet, right?
He's going to land on his feet, but he's always going to end up landing on his side of
Raylan.
Think so?
I do.
Well, because remember, the teaser for this whole season is them side by side.
Yeah.
Doing well, all it. So, and, like, that's also, the message that they sent for the season.
And also
so.
Talking about... Harlan County.
It's all protecting Harlan.
And
finally
saying, this is our home and stuff like that. Aside from the fact that, I mean, you sit there and you see Neil McDonough's character, who I can't remember his name.
Quarles.
Yeah. You saw him actually sitting there going, wondering if, oh, wow, Boyd, I didn't know he had the kind of juice to have, you know, a Marshall in his pocket. And the other guy's like going, no, he's not dirty. And he goes, But you know, and we all know it's not true.
But it does look like it's true because it totally it's like does. As soon as Boyd has a problem, who does he call? He calls Raylan, tells him what the problem is. And Raylan's like, I'm tired of fixing your problems. And he goes and does it because it's actually the right thing to do. Because
but Raylan doesn't do anything illegal.
No, but right. Boyd always knows a way to phrase his problems.
Boyd knows how to work with
it. Here's some sort of illegal activity happening. Go clean it up. And if it happens to benefit Boyd, all for the better.
But I think Quarles is going to make a mistake with Arlo because he doesn't realize that Arlo
and Raylan are...
Is Arlo getting a little... light in the head? Like, it feel like he was talking to somebody who wasn't
was,
there.
It seemed like he was talking to Helen.
Yeah,
right. I think he's losing it a little bit.
Well, I don't think he's ever been too sharp to begin with.
Well, I didn't say he was sharp, but I actually think he might be losing his mind. But I do think he's going to miscalculate with Arlo, thinking that Raylan loves his dad.
What is Quarles doing with these guys tied up in his room?
Beating the crap out of them, apparently.
Wait, there's two guys tied... Well, I haven't seen the new episode.
Well, there was... But...
Remember the old one? There was a guy tied up in the bedroom.
There was another one.
And I mean, Jerry Burns this... just happens to walk in.
And he walks in again a second time, this time too. And it's just
He doesn't see it. He just hears it.
He right.
just hears it this time. And you're like, going, it's either beating up or it's sexual or it's both. I mean, you know, the guy is just in his
underwear. Yeah. It's a little creepy. It's pretty creepy.
And I think that's part of the way he does his fear thing. You know, it's like going, aside from the fact that he's got a little gun up his sleeve.
Well, he didn't know the other guy came back in, so it wasn't like he was trying to cause fear for him.
No, he was.
But he was venting. He was angry because his plan didn't work. And I don't get the feeling that those guys are being tied down. They're very much against their will being tied to these beds. And it's like whatever's going on in that room, you really don't want to know.
It's not good.
No, not good.
Well, and then with the money going disappearing, I kept thinking at first that was all a setup. To get the wife, to get Raylan. I mean, I kept thinking, oh, this is a setup. They're gonna somehow be able to trace this back or whatever.
Oh, to get
so
one
then
another.
When you're like, oh, it's the guard, and
he just went to Mexico.
That's really random because it really seemed like a really awesome way to set Raylan up by setting her up.
Right, but it was just the guy just decided to steal the money, went to Mexico. They're like, all right.
But isn't totally that random. Interesting that now that kind of thing with. Something that could have burned Raylan and
is now
Winona
gone
because it's in
gone.
Texas. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
now gone.
Right. So that's gone. And Peter was right in his prediction when you predicted that because we were all happy that Winona was gone from last week's episode. I was like,
oh,
yes.
Yeah,
and you were like, you're like, no, but he's gonna go after her.
Well, because baby. I was like, there's no way that's So, but yeah. I would like the character.
There's always this push and pull between them.
Right. Well, I just can't stand her anymore.
Yeah, I really don't need her
she's
anymore.
Just...
It's not the actress's fault, again. Just like
no,
I just,
like
I just don't...
It's the character.
Yeah, I just think the character's kind of
I just... I await Karen's... Why can't I think of her name? Carla Gugino's return.
Who's that?
Carla Gugino. Oh, yeah.
Carla Gugino plays
just saw her.
The other marshal that she... That they
have. They have a history.
They have history.
Oh,
she's
right.
Coming back.
Oh, yeah. Because then.
Oh, she is?
Oh, yeah.
So, I think that's probably why they broke him up with Winona.
Yeah. Because.
To actually allow that to happen, which is fine, because I really didn't like Winona. So now they're just like, okay, we're going to share the baby. I was like, all right, whatever. Just go away.
I want her out of harm's way, too, because I don't want Quarles using her as a chip.
That would really suck.
Too stereotypical.
Right. And so she's like,
oh, right.
Yeah. I got your baby mama.
Right.
Yeah. So. She's now gone and no longer available to be taken hostage. So she's left town.
I don't know if she's necessarily that far away.
They said she was in another state. Or she at least went one state away.
One state away. For
she's like
sister.
One state away or something.
I just thought she was in Lexington.
I will say that because I haven't seen the new episode.
That's it, Lincoln.
Lincoln? Well, then that would be Nebraska, so you're right, it's another state.
I gotta say, though, this season has been really good, although I haven't seen the new episode. But one of the things I like, besides the shifting, wondering what's going to happen with the villains, is it's still a very funny show.
Right.
I haven't seen the episode, but
yeah,
I mean, it's just a
the
very funny show.
Yeah,
like,
the one-liners are great. And you need to see this episode because
The what?
The kidneys.
Oh, right.
Oh, did you deal with that guy again?
That was last week.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was last week's?
Wait, last week.
That
was
great.
Oh, you're right. That was last week.
Yeah, that was pretty good because it was like, we've taken your kidneys. Psych!
Yeah.
But it looks like this three-way battle for
control
with Limehouse, Quarles, and Crowder.
It's totally going to get interesting.
Well, and then, of course, and then we have McKelty, you know, doing the whole money laundering thing. Or is he one of the three?
He's one of the three.
That's Quarles.
Yeah.
That's all right. Girls. Okay.
So wrapping that up, thumbs way up for Justified.
Yep.
He's like, well, yeah. Well,
Justified.
And,
it's been fantastic.
And I'm sorry, but Timothy Oliphant is gorgeous.
He's actually not the main reason that I think there's
well, he's good.
He's yeah. good, but when you notice when we talked about it, we talked about everything but him until the end. Like, there's so many other things going on.
I would talk more about him, but you know, it's just me.
I like him playing a flawed good guy much better than playing a bad guy.
Well, I mean, yeah, he's great. I'm not taking that away. I'm just saying that there's so many things going on.
There's a lot. Yeah, the show is the whole part.
Right, and it's not a show that lives and dies with him. There are certain shows that lives and dies with
him. If he wasn't on it, it probably would. I mean, he sort of needs to be there. He is the linchpin.
But I hope he gets some Emmy love. But the thing is, they're writing such great guest parts.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's so many other characters.
I mean,
characters
he got nominated this last year, but Mags won and deserved it.
She was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So, thumbs way up for Jackpot. Yeah, all right. So, next up, let's talk about White Collar. And this week's episode is it's all a lead up to his consignment, with a C.
Commutation.
Thank you. It's all about his hearing. So
everything getting released and getting the anklet off.
Right. So that's all this buildup is about. And it was kind of like the advertisements were false, where it made it look like he was trying to really pull off a case. But his whole thing is he's like, I'm going to stop this major criminal to give me extra points so that I go into this hearing looking really good. Yeah. And I understood that, but I was like, but then they've been laying up all these pieces that are going to be against him at his trial that he doesn't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel bad because I feel like Peter should have given him a little bit of a heads up.
There's
so many things against him right now. He really because he thinks he's going in there golden. Uh-huh. And there's so many things against him that he didn't even know.
Basically, the one thing that Peter knows is that they've broken this code that he sent to Kate.
Right.
These letters. But we don't know what it means.
Right.
We don't know what it means, but...
But the thing is, he did that while he was still in prison.
Yeah,
so
he did
that
many years ago.
I don't understand why that works against him.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I think there are probably rumors about this other stuff, too.
Yeah,
maybe it's communications about where stuff is stashed.
Oh, that's true.
You mean,
but
until they crack it fully, we don't know what.
Yeah, but I just really feel like he really is going into this hearing thinking he's done a good job, and he has done a good job. But though he got credit for something he stole, and he got credit for capturing it, which is kind of ironic. But still, he's like, all right, I'll take that win. But it's just like he thinks he's going in there golden and he's really not. I just feel like Peter, even if Peter doesn't give him a glowing review, he should still give him a heads up about all the other stuff that's happening. Because as much as Peter doesn't necessarily want him to get out, he doesn't want it to really look bad for him, you know? So he does still feel
like... Yeah, Peter's reputation's on the line too.
Well, it's not... I wouldn't think he was being that selfish, but I really do feel like he does like him, so...
No, anyway. but if Neil goes down, Peter doesn't come out looking great.
No, but I mean, it's not even so much as going down. Basically, the hearing is the anklet comes off or not. That's really what's at stake. More than it's not like he's going to go back to prison.
I don't know. I think Bo Bridges' character has it in for him.
Well, yeah, Bo, he wants him to go back to prison, but I don't think that that's really what's going to happen. Well, obviously, the show would be over. But
I want to mention one of my favorite parts.
All right, go ahead, quick.
Was the whole pool game interview.
Oh, yes. That was pretty good.
That was.
Yeah, it's so cool how he could, you know, tell so many things about him from the way they played pool.
Right, I would obviously lose any sort of interview involving that. I was like, okay, I guess I just don't get the job.
Well, for me, the ball would be flying off the table.
But it was pretty much like how you pick the ball or whatever determines your confidence level and how you're going to do in certain situations, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. But let's wrap that one up.
I think we need to give Tim DeKay a shout out for directing this episode.
Oh, that's right. Yes. This is his debut?
Directorial debut for television. And also, usually when you have an episode that's written for an actor to direct...
He's not in it.
He's not in it that much. Right. And they didn't pull any punches. He's in it
pretty much the whole time. And the other thing I have to give him credit for is a lot of times when actors direct themselves, I can tell the difference. Like, I can tell that they're directing themselves. Like, they're either over the top or there's something off about the character because they don't know how to direct themselves.
Mm-hmm.
he was perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There are a lot of examples of that in X-Files when David Duchovny directed. I actually liked his episodes, though, but that's for another day.
Yes. All right. Next up, let's talk about Modern Family really quick. Peter, you haven't talked in a while.
We're doing two of them. Tupperware. What was the one before?
It was a Valentine's Day one. And then the Tupperware one was this one.
The Tupperware one I thought was okay because it was, there's still good stuff there, but that was kind of them somewhat doing something a little serious because Phil's kind of, he gets a little upset.
You have to tell the story about you not understanding what they were talking about.
Well, yeah, in the episode, when I watched it on Hulu, and on Hulu there's a picture of Phil holding, I forget what was the oldest daughter's name?
Haley,
and I was like, what the heck happened? Something sad? A sad moment? So then I'm watching the episode and they're in their car and they're talking about going to the food court and the other daughter, I think Phil's like, it's all right, we'll do the food court even though Haley has an aversion to food or something like that. And then the daughter's like, and then something happens where it's awkward. I'm like, well, wait, what's going on? So I'm watching the whole episode and I'm like, all right, what just happened? I'm like, Peter. Is Haley bulimic or something? So I was like, does she not eat? I was like, what's going on? Because in my mind, I'm thinking of this hug that Phil has, and I'm like, what serious thing happened? And then it turns out a virgin is virgin. And
right.
I was like,
well,
I can't believe I didn't.
Haley is a virgin.
A virgin.
A virgin.
Right. And I was like,
that's why the
sister
started laughing.
It was the play on words of aversion.
Why it did not click with me. And so, so then they get to the episode, and they're at the doll place.
Right.
And it's like, oh no, this doll's broken. Never be the same. That was pretty good. But actually, as an episode, I thought like that was good. I thought they didn't use Cam well enough because he's basically just trying to find the Tupperware thing.
Right, that was like, kind of silly.
It's okay.
I did like Mitchell and his dad at the golf course.
Yeah.
That was right. And of course, I like Manny driving the car.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Manny and Luke starting,
like,
plotting to take Lily down.
Yeah, that was
We have to take her out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We have to take her out.
But yeah, so I thought, yeah. I mean, I'm actually really, in a strange way, if it wasn't that I love Parks and Recreation, I would almost say ABC is actually superior on the
comedy
because I like Happy Endings, I like Suburgatory, I like Modern Family. I don't know, what's their fourth show? I guess
The Middle.
Is that actually called The Middle?
Yes.
The show before.
I don't even know what that is. Okay, so I guess I'm missing that. But I gotta say, I really like all three of those. Whereas on the Thursday night NBC, I really love Parks and Office
Community.
Is okay. But Community's not on right now.
It's about
coming back.
Community's coming back.
Yeah, and taking the place of Parks.
Oh.
Is it?
Yeah,
what?
Parks finishes for this season. It's done.
It's gonna be done?
It finishes, and that's when Community comes in. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
So I'm kind of like, well, so basically they have one good show Thursday night.
No, Awake is starting this week, and I mean, it's drama, it's not comedy.
Oh,
but
true.
Let's see how long they stick with it.
Awake seems like a show that would be better as a movie, but we'll see.
I love Jason Isaacs.
Yes. Draco's dad.
No, he's not. Anyway.
Draco Malfoy's dad.
Lucius Malfoy to you.
But a good
Modern Family. I love him. Allison.
Yeah, Allison loves him a lot. But anyway, so it was a good Modern Family. I thought it was great. And I love Modern Family.
The dad's speech to the daughter reminded me of Danny Tanner on Full House. Heart to heart talk with your daughter.
Well, that was so great was that he was like, what I should have said to my daughter, like we sitting on the couch and he says all this really good stuff. And he said, and then you see what he actually says. He just sort of stumbles and it's like, okay, we'll
talk. And then they cut to Haley, best dad ever.
That was pretty good. Next up, let's talk about Suburgatory. And I don't remember what happened this week.
It was good. Of the three shows, Suburgatory has been my least favorite, even though I like it. Just because it's so obviously following the Heathers, that format of like kind of over the top suburban like comedy. But I have to say, I really like the show. This was the episode where the main character's friend gets befriended by the big popular girl who could be her future sister-in-law.
Right.
She's trying to clone her into becoming one of her, and at the same time, one of the airhead girls.
Well, no, she's not going to be the sister-in-law. Like the redhead is probably more likely to be her sister-in-law. The main character. What is the main character's name?
Well, no, the redhead is the main character.
Right.
Right. So I'm saying the redhead's friend, which I don't remember the character's name, is But I liked it. I thought it was funny. Like, just the scene that trying to make the nerd into the cool girl, trying to make the cool girl into the
nerd
with the dance class. I thought it was pretty funny.
I like the actually,
the adults are acting like teenagers. Right. That too. So
I like the dance. Like, once the kids would dance, like, that I thought made the whole thing, because at first I was like, why are we doing this? But once we got to the dance, I was like, gold.
Okay, yes.
And then the adults trying to be teenagers totally failed. Right. Like, they were like, that doesn't work for adults. Works for teenagers, but not for adults.
Right, and then I think then she says something like, fortunately, I am still a teenager, right? That goes into her story.
Right, so I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, thumbs up.
So apparently the fad in the town was everyone gets divorced. New fad. But anyway, yeah, thumbs up. I liked it. Next up, we want to talk about last week's episode, or big break episode of Vampire Diaries, where everything goes down.
So that's the last episode for a while.
Yeah, right, for like a month. March.
Huh, okay, alright. I'm trying to, because that was last week, not this week, but...
It was basically the big family. Amy, did you want to say something?
Yeah, the episode was called All My Children.
Yeah.
Funny. Right, and the episode before that, their titles have been weird. What was the episode before called?
It was a title of something, I don't know.
Yeah, they got these, All My Children's a television show, but, the other reason that seems weird to me that that's a winter finale or whatever is that, like, essentially, the big thing didn't really happen.
Well, I mean, they averted it. Like, the whole
thing was to destroy the originals.
And they weren't all going to really
die.
But
then why is that the break, then? Because they didn't do it, so...
The break is because they need to save up their episodes to bring it up to the full finale. This is not like a winter break. A winter break is usually a big finale thing. This is just like, we just stopped airing episodes.
This is the sweeps break.
I mean, it's still good. I really like the show. So,
I mean, and the only thing I'm upset about is they sent Elijah away. Like, he's my favorite original.
No, me too.
And so sending Elijah...
He can always come back.
I know, but I love Elijah.
I'm liking Klaus because of the Caroline thing.
Yes, but now he's mad at Caroline. So he burned all his pictures of Caroline.
True, but supernatural. But by now he knows that it wasn't. You remember when he like shakes her? He's like, "What did you do? What did you do?" And she's like, "I didn't do anything." But he knows now it has nothing to do with Caroline. So by the next time he might be trying to get with her again.
Well, no, he burned the pictures after that conversation.
Yeah, he did.
So I think that he's. I think that something would have to happen for them to get back together, but that's fine.
Well, they were never together.
I know.
But it had that potential.
He's infatuated with her, and I would think that he, once he realizes he was wrong, he will still be infatuated with her.
Right. I think that there's still, something's still going to happen. The reason I liked Elijah, actually, was because I like Elijah and Elena actually have really good chemistry. I was like, I was like, go for the original. Screw the Salvatore brothers. Go, Elijah's way more powerful and he's cooler. So I thought that they actually had potential, and then they send him away, and I was like, oh no.
Now you're stuck. Come back.
I know, but now she's stuck with the Salvatore brothers.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is. She's gonna end.
Because she's ticked off Damon. And Stefan's pretending not to care.
Yeah, but he does care now. And how long do you think before they get back together? And I'm going to have to shoot someone.
Elena plus Stefan equals Jan.
Yes. What were you going to say, Amy?
Abby is a vampire now.
Oh, that's right.
Who?
Abby, that's Bonnie's mom.
Yes, that was a big thing. I forgot about that.
That was pretty big.
Good one, Amy. Yes.
Thank you.
And we found out that the crazy doctor lady is indeed the
crazy doctor.
That was so disappointing.
Well, no.
Because they already did the, it can't be me, we already think it's me. I'm like, it's going to be her.
That's what I said.
Which is what you said, but that's like, I don't know.
Because they had set her up. First of all, she's a brand new character that comes out of nowhere that immediately hooks up with the main character. But
who's played by one of the star's wives.
And she gets, and people start getting murdered around her. I was like, she's the murderer. So,
you weren't supposed to see that. Bam. That's the end, right? That's the cliffhanger.
Yeah, the cliffhanger is.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, she basically is going to shoot Alaric, and I'm like, whatever. He's got a ring on. She's probably supernatural.
But it's not supernatural.
But the ring is supernatural.
Well, if she was supernatural using a gun, it would still probably. But you're right. We don't know.
That's why it's a cliffhanger.
Right.
Because normally we'd be like, he's fine.
Right.
So.
He has a weird immortality.
Who's married? Somebody's married?
That's Stefan's wife in real life.
Mm.
Wait, that guy's married?
Yeah.
20? Like,
oh,
what?
No,
he's like 30. 30. He's 30-something. Yeah.
Easily.
Well, I knew Damon is older. Like, that actor's...
They're
really?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, which is why it's really stupid that he's pretending to be in high school. Like, yes.
He looks like... Oh, wait. It's ever since the original 90210. It's like...
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So, thumbs up.
It's receding.
Thomas up Vampire Diaries very quickly. Tom
Secret
insisted,
Circle.
Tom insisted on talking about Secret Circle. I did not want to talk about it.
I thought it was fun that they cast Sully, Joe Lando from Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, as the dad.
I found a little. They had this article, a review of Secret Circle, where they basically took stills of the show and put captions under it. That was far more entertaining than the episode. The episode was just like, I was like, yawn. Like, every episode that there's like, this is going to be the big episode that's going to do whatever. And I watch it and I'm like, I'm bored. This show
you're
is,
not interested
I'm done.
To find out what the father's up to?
I don't care about anybody in this town anymore. Like, I watched this show for, I watched all the way up to
two thirds of a season.
And I can't make it to the end. I can't
do
it. I was forcing myself to watch it for this podcast, and I cannot do it anymore. I'm done. I am done. All right. The end.
Stick a fork in Libya.
The Tom will be watching.
Let's talk about something really interesting. Person of interest.
Thank you. Next up, person of interest.
It has
Here we
the
go.
Word interest in it.
There you go. I want to start off with saying I hate the intro for Person of Interest. I fast forward every week.
The government has a machine. They have to do, it's called a saga cell.
I know,
but it doesn't
work.
They have to do it because that show is high concept enough that you need to repeat it.
I understand, but I feel like they need to do it.
Season two, it'll go away. I'm pretty sure by season two,
it will go away for season
I feel
two.
Like
it'll
they
be
just.
Lines on the tape screen.
They just need to do it. Faster or better or something. It's just the way it is right now. I understand they need to get the information.
I miss theme songs.
I do.
Real theme songs.
Yeah.
Let's watch Hawaii 5-0. It's got one.
I've got it on my
it's
phone.
A recycled one.
That's true, but it's a theme song.
Just like
anyway, topic. Topic.
Person of interest.
Person of interest.
The, what's his name?
Reese Finch.
No. The bad guy is back.
Elias.
Yes.
That was great
when
reveal.
They finally figured out, because I mean there was a lot of stuff going on.
Right.
I want to know, is evil hacker chick working for Elias?
I don't know.
From a couple episodes
ago?
Yeah,
I remember who you're
that
talking. I know you're talking.
Interesting.
I don't know.
That would be very interesting.
But I could tell, because they were like, they had the whole corporate espionage thing going on, short
corporate
selling.
Corporate espionage?
Well, it was.
Insider trading. That's
okay.
Different.
Sorry.
It
tells you how much I know about Wall Street. But yes, they were short selling and it was insider trading and all that other stuff.
I thought they did a great job explaining that for people who might not understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
High
who
finance.
Can trade what? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was all pretty good. I mean, I enjoyed the episode. I think the guest star who you're supposed to save is good actor. I liked him in Chicago Code.
Matt Lauria from Friday Night Lights and Chicago Code. Get him his own show, please.
he was pretty good. And he had really good chemistry with, because it was like he was mindless of what was going on. Like, he didn't understand people
like
were trying to kill
him. He was really smart, but when it came to finance, you know, because I kept thinking, oh, maybe he's dirty or something like that. It's like, no, he just really was smart.
Right.
He did his homework. He worked really hard. And I'm like, that was a really nice aspect to show that.
Right. That's what got him in trouble, is that he was smarter than
he was so smart.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
he was figuring out something was going on.
Yeah.
As
what to bet on and what not to bet on, you know, when it came to the high finance stuff.
That was all pretty good. Like, and I liked Reese and, well, usually my best favorite episodes is when it deals with Reese and Finch personally. This one really didn't, but they still did some slight reversal of roles and did some interesting stuff.
Well, at one point you had him finally telling the woman in the shelter area, you know, like how much he appreciated her, because he sees the kid finally making up with his uncle and stuff like that. So he goes and he says thank you and stuff like that, and all of a sudden, who's taking care of you? And he's like, you know, I've got someone now.
And oh, that
and
smile!
The reaction.
Yeah,
from,
Finch.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
yeah.
That was
the fact that he actually counts.
But I love the fact that they're both still investigating
each other. Right. Well, they want to know each other's secrets. Secrets
and
are bad.
And then, of course, what's her name? Cop lady.
Carter.
Carter, yeah. Get Carter.
Yeah.
I like her. A good use of her. I just feel like just bring her into the fold and be done. You know? So
well, she's there.
Sort of. She didn't know about the machine.
Oh, don't give her...
I think that, yeah, I think it's, yeah, I think they're worried about, because she's more of a public figure, that if she has too much information, she's too close to scrutiny with the CIA guys.
I could see that, but anyway, I like the show. It's done a really good job.
What do you guys think of, I mean, even though he wasn't in this episode, of Fusco, and having, it is his name, right?
I'm surprised Fusco's still alive, because it was not looking good for him in a couple of episodes.
Right, because he was on his knees with a gun to his head at the end.
And then making him go back to the dirty side. I mean, I understand why they want him on that side and stuff like that.
But it sucks for him, right?
Yeah, he's like, I'm finally doing something good, and you're making me do bad stuff to do the good.
But the problem is, you know, he already opened that door.
Yeah, he opened that door.
And they need to exploit it for the greater good.
Exactly, and he is the perfect person to...
I did still feel bad for him. But, yeah. Because he was like, I'm trying to redeem myself! Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you're doing a great job of it. All right. Dirty.
So we'll wrap that one up. Thumbs up, person of interest. Really loving the show. Next up, let's talk about Supernatural. It wasn't on this week, but it was on last week. And last week's episode was pretty big. It was very much Sam. It was a Sam heavy episode where Lucifer is back and with a vengeance. So.
Yes, Mark Pellegrino. Woo!
He was great. He was what was so weird is because I watch him also on The Closer, and on The Closer he plays a pretty flaming attorney, and I felt like when he was playing Lucifer this time, I was like, you're getting your roles mixed up. Like, I was like, you're not flaming in this one. Because he did a couple of things, and I was like, I had
but
to
he's
tilt
always,
my...
But he's always sort of done that. He's always like, you know, because like, the angels, not so much, but the demons are like, they're riding those bodies, and so they always have these double entendres about what it's like riding a body.
Right. It was just a couple of things he said that made me laugh. He's great.
Yeah. He should act the way that he did in Being Human, which I know you don't watch.
Well, that's right. He's right. He's in the American Being Human, isn't he?
Yeah.
I just thought last year when he was playing Lucifer, and you had him as Lucifer and you had him as Jacob over on Lost, and which is a godlike character, and see, so he was playing the devil and God at the same year.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
I
didn't watch them simultaneously, but it was still pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we're forgetting is the main crux of the case this week was that there was a guy who had been possessed by a demon, and 5 years ago or 4 years ago, the brothers had exorcised the demon, but they had to torture him first. So they broke like almost every bone in the guy's body.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they asked him permission. They were like, we need to get this demon out, ask these questions. We're going to jack you up. Are you okay with that? And he was just like, get it out. So they jack him up. Then they get the demon out and they drop him off at the hospital. Skip forward 4 or 5 years, and he's still kind of messed up. He's not quite all there.
Oh, no.
And, but what the twist was pretty good.
Yeah, the twist with him. And I love the demon's thing of going, oh, no, it was always there. I just opened the door.
Right. Because
to go out and do all that. So there was a mass killer inside of him, and it took the demon to bring it out. And then once the demon was gone,
Well, that was the thing, is the murders that were so similar to when he was possessed was what brought the brothers back. So they thought the demon was back, but it was just him being a serial killer. Because I was like, demons don't go down a list. Because he was like, oh, there's this list that the demon wants to kill. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. And the brothers should have had the same thought. Like, demons don't do that. But then...
Not unless they're working for that Dick Roman guy.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah,
but
not demon.
Yeah, not a demon. So that was really interesting. And then what was really creepy, though, was when the demon came into the other kid.
Yes.
And then they had that bizarre dance.
That
was so weird.
Yeah, he was like going, you're okay, you're fine. I made you, you're done now. I finished, you know, you've
You are my work of art, right?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, wow.
That was really creepy.
Yeah.
So that was thumbs up. That was a good episode.
Yes.
Thumbs up. Because I like that they just, because they've never done that. Like, you see them save people, and it looks like they've saved them, and they leave.
And yeah, right, you never see the consequences
down
the line. Or very rarely do you see the consequences. Do they repeat, visit somebody?
Right. So yeah, it was a thumbs up. Very good episode. Next up, we want to talk about Spartacus!
Spartacus.
I am Spartacus.
I
still can't get over, I mean, I'm always thinking about Andy Whitfield having...
That's true.
Dropped out of the role. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I mean, did you watch this week's episode?
I saw some of it.
some of it. You watch television in a very interesting manner.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, I have time for a little bit of this. Oh, I didn't finish it.
Last week's episode, Empty Hands, the major thrust with Spartacus is they're on the run from the mines to Vesuvius.
Right.
And they're basically getting their butts kicked by Globber's men.
Right. Because they didn't have enough men.
And almost every, you know, poor...
I was offended by every black guy got killed first. I was like, wait a minute.
Oh, come on. You should be used to that trope by now.
It seems like a very old one. I was like, what year is this? That they're killing all the black guys
first. All the brothers be gone.
Oh, my goodness. And I was like...
But Nasir almost buys the farm.
Yeah, that's true too.
And then and what's her face? It's like we went all the way to rescue this woman, and she's just like blah the whole time.
Well, she's traumatized.
She's traumatized, but she's not doing anybody any favors by
getting
more people killed.
I know, but she was traumatized. You can't rescue someone who is traumatized and not expect them to freak out when they're surrounded by bad guys. Like that's just what's gonna happen. What they should have done is had her somebody holding her,
somebody gagging her.
Well, yeah, I mean, and they just thought she.
On the head, throw her over your shoulder, and walk away.
Well, they couldn't. They were hiding, and okay. She freaked out during their hiding portion. So I actually thought that last week's was kind of weak.
It was kind of a transition episode. The thing that was interesting about last week's episode is in the Rome subplot is the machinations.
I was bored.
You were bored?
Yes.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting because you found out that... You know that Ilithia is planning to divorce Globber.
Right.
And get with...
the other proletarian?
Verinius.
Yeah, I can't remember.
With Verinius and mentions it to her dad. And then Lucretia sleeps with dad to seal the deal.
Well, what was so weird is I can't figure out Lucretia's end game.
Oh, Lucretia.
It's going to be bad. Whatever it is, it's going to suck. It's going to suck for Ilithia. Big time.
You know what's interesting is I had thought that Lucretia wanted to do something with that baby.
Right.
But now it's evident that she wants that baby to be born.
Yes.
Because,
but I don't know why.
I think it's probably Spartacus. It could be Spartacus'
baby. It probably is Spartacus' baby. Because Lucretia tricked Ilithia and Spartacus into sleeping with each other.
In season one.
Right. But that's probably Spartacus' baby, which will suck for Globber big time. That will be awesome.
Okay,
but they're going to be able to tell, though.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I'm sorry, but is there, you know...
There's no DNA testing.
Yeah.
And it's not like... Globber and Spartacus don't look alike, but they don't look different enough that you'd be like, as soon as the baby...
They're both white, they both have blue eyes.
Right, so when the baby's born, they're not...
So unless one of them is half god or something like that, so there's some sort of immortal aspect, you're not gonna...
No, there's nothing like that.
Yeah.
So, but we're pretty sure it's Spartacus's baby, though.
But I would agree that Empty Hands is kind of a, you know, it was kind of a filler episode. Because the main event this episode...
Oh, it was awesome.
Whoa!
This week's episode was great.
I mean...
It was like, this is what I was waiting for.
And it's interesting because we had talked about it a couple weeks ago that this is kind of like a standard play from the Robin Hood myth where you have to rescue one of your men.
Right.
But
the
way they did it, burning down the Colosseum?
That was great.
That was crazy.
Because they were like, okay, we got to wait for our distraction. I thought the distraction was just going to be a little smoke coming up and people would be like, oh, there's a fire, and then they run. The whole Colosseum collapsed.
Burns and collapses.
To the ground, like hundreds and thousands of people died. I was like, that's
a pretty awesome effect.
I was like, that's a pretty big distraction.
Plus, you had the return of Gannicus.
Oh, yes. Gannicus is so... He's so messed up. But he was messed up before, but I feel like his idea was like, I'll make sure you die with honor. I was like, no, that's not a good plan. Like, I don't like that plan. He was like, I came here to make sure, because you're my brothers, and I wanted to make sure that you got put down correctly. I'm like, no, man, we're not dogs.
It's like he blew through all that money he made or whatever.
It wasn't, I don't think it was really about money. I really don't think.
No, but he had blown through whatever...
Money that he, yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Because he's like,
he gets hookers and drink. That's all he does, you know. But now I feel
bring out the hookers and the booze.
He has to. He feels obligated to make it up to Animaeus.
He better.
Animaeus was his best friend, and he totally screwed him.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He screwed him over.
I really think that redeeming himself in Animaeus' eyes is going to be his main thrust for the rest of the season.
Pun intended.
Oh, I didn't actually mean it that way. Thank you. But
I thought it was it.
Cable.
I thought it
well,
was
well on this show. There's lots of especially the gladiators. There's a lot of that going on
stuff. But I thought it was interesting that Aggron reciprocated Nasir's affection. For
well, the
him.
Only thing that was weird about that is I knew the kid was in love with him, but yes. There was no indication.
Well, there were some hints.
I didn't see a hint.
There were some hints when they were talking when he was talking about him with a third party the previous week.
I missed it. So because when he kissed him, I was like, what? Did I miss? Like I really felt like I knew the kid was in love with him, but I didn't see
because
that
because they left you kind of hanging. Is he fond of him because he misses his brother, or is it something else? And
oh, okay. Well, apparently it was something else.
But in the rest of the Roman subplot, oh, the crossing and double crossing.
Oh, woo! I knew the Glabber was going to kill the dad. I knew it.
Well, when Albinius makes the mistake of saying you are finished in the Senate, it's like
of course he's gonna. I was like, first of all, you have a crisis where the stadium is falling apart. People are dying left and right. Perfect opportunity to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. You know?
And blame it on Spartacus.
Yeah, and he was like, Spartacus totally killed him. And then what was
Spartacus
great...
Spartacus killed your dad.
But then he immediately goes, and we'll be together forever as husband and wife. And she looked at him and she knew he killed her dad.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it just right then. And I was mm-hmm. like, oh, man. And Lucretia was kind of like, I don't know if this... Because Asha...
Oh, no. Lucretia wanted that to happen.
She wanted some of it
because,
to happen.
Well, no, but Lucretia specifically wanted Asher...
Asher totally went off script. That's what I loved about
Well, Asher went off script, so Lucretia's not happy that Asher disobeyed her, but she's happy with the end result.
I think she's happy with the end results, but Asher totally just... He went like... Woo. She was like, all I want you to do is replace the liquid in there with something else. Asher's just like... He was like, okay, the reason you want to do this is for this. Let me just skip to the end.
Yeah.
He just totally did something.
Crosses and double crosses.
Oh, Ash is awesome. He is so awesome.
And boy, it's like, he's like that cockroach they just can't get rid of.
Oh,
both
no.
Both sides.
Yeah, I know. It's great. All right. So Spartacus, two thumbs up for this week's episode. One, apparently, for the other one. All right, let's talk about Fringe.
Ooh, crazy stuff.
Fringe, I'm more and more convinced that Peter is not seeing the whole picture where he thinks he needs to get back to the real world, that he is in the real world, just that the reality of that world is bent because he wasn't there.
I don't think Peter realizes that he's the aberration.
Right.
That he should not exist and yet does, so he doesn't really have any world that he can call home.
Exactly. And that's why I don't understand why he keeps like, I'm going to get the device to get me back to my universe. And I was like, dude, in your universe.
I think Walter needs to sit down and tell him, dude.
Well, I don't think Walter's figured it out either. Because remember, Walter thinks that's not his Peter.
Well, it isn't his Peter. But the thing is, Peter's nobody's Peter. I mean, he is alone in the multiverse.
Right.
And he hasn't figured that out yet.
And so there is no universe.
He called home.
Right. Well, I mean, he was home, and then they erased him from time, and then he came back in time.
Well,
so all the universes...
He erased himself from time. That's what the machine did.
Right, but he didn't do it on purpose.
No, he didn't do it on purpose. He did it to save the world, but he didn't realize that that's what it was going to do.
Right. So he erased himself from time, and all the universes reshaped themselves without him. Then he comes back, and he's like, I got to get back to my world. I was like, dude,
no world.
It doesn't exist.
We're in the Orangeverse now.
Yeah, and I was like, you are in the correct universe. You just have to reshape the universe to accommodate your existence.
And I think it's fascinating that the...
That sounds crazy, doesn't it?
I think it's fascinating that what used to be the Red Universe... is almost more accepting of his existence. The fact that his still living mother
just
knew
totally
exactly
who
he was,
right,
and accepted him, and Walternate's no longer completely evil.
And he accepts him too.
Walternate.
And accepts him too.
Well, you have to come up with names to accommodate the other realities.
I totally get it. I was a Lost fan. I totally get that. I made it through the first season of Fringe, and it just they put it on.
The first season was
the weakest.
Yeah.
But see, you know, you had to have all that beginning stuff. You know, you sort of had to add the introduction of the bald men, and you know, and all that kind of stuff. You had to have all that introduction, And you did see the first time they traveled from one universe to the other
right.
in the first season. So but they, I never made it out of that.
It's got so much better.
Oh, I know. I have lots of friends who keep saying I have to go back to it. And I'm like, I don't have any time. Just give me a DVD and the whole season when I'm not doing festivals.
We'll work it out for you. Yeah.
What was the term I mentioned earlier? Something like Resetlandia?
Yes. That's the Orange universe now.
Relivia.
Well, because the thing is, now she has all her memories of the other universe, and they're actually more prominent than her memories in this universe. But Peter doesn't accept her now.
Now, do you think that Walter's theory is right?
No, I think Walter's absolutely wrong. I think Walter is absolutely wrong in this case because Olivia knows stuff that Peter didn't know, so he can't be projecting his Olivia on her if she knows stuff that he doesn't know.
I wonder if it's maybe. The multiverse's way of trying to balance itself out.
Well, I think it's her taking the Trifexcan, her taking that has made her open to all the different realities.
Ooh.
And I think that's what's causing her to get all her memories.
Oh, the
so she's drawing from all of
them.
Not all of them. The one that where Peter used to exist, all those seem like the real memories to her instead of the Orange universe. You can tell the universe is based on when it comes on. It comes on with a different color. So if it's blue...
Blue was the original.
Right. Red was the alternate. And now we're the mixture of the weird one without Peter.
So, well, at least they spelled that out for you.
Yeah, well, they didn't actually spell it out for us. You just had to pay attention.
I thought what we were talking about when Josh was here, and you kind of gave me the look, but when the observer... When Peter's in the observer's mind...
Right.
And they had the cool effects of, the cosmos in the background... But also the revelation that he and faux Olivia had a son.
Right, he didn't know that.
That he didn't know about.
Right.
And just the look on his... I mean, no version of him knew that.
Right, and he found out his son's name was Henry. All sadness. And he's like, yes, he doesn't exist anymore. And it was just like, that sucks.
I have a son?
You had a son. Well, I'm actually... Because I actually didn't like him having a son with the faux Olivia either. So they've wiped that baby out of existence.
Well, what the observer said was it was with the wrong Olivia.
He's supposed to have a son, but with our Olivia.
Oh. Who's confused?
Poor Olivia.
I have, two, three seasons to catch up on?
Yeah. Yes.
It's seasons. This is the first show I can think of that got better every single year.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're wrapping that up. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. If you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are on Facebook. GetThePointRadio.com. KryptonRadio.com. Stitcher.com. Unopolis.com. Alotta.com. I sound bored. All right. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.